Good morning. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. We're a blessed people to be here and worship here together, collectively here. There's people in the past and also in the current times here that don't have the opportunity that we have of worshiping together in. Wait, may we never take this for granted. It's a blessing to have brothers and sisters here that can lift us up from time to time when we are in a time of need. They're there to help when we fall short. It's a blessing to see you all do that from time to time. My mind was drawn to a story in the Bible this week. It's a well-known story. It's a story of a family that got caught up in the comforts of their environment, even though it was a very sinful environment. And they were given a second chance of life, free from the intense evil influence that they were living in. It's a story that I do believe that is recorded in the Bible because it represents the spiritual struggles that we face and makes it clear of the consequences we face if we do not choose God. I invite you to turn you to Genesis 13. I'm going to read a verse or two here. Then we'll be moving into another chapter, a few chapters later. We're going to be looking at chapter 13, verse 10. It's a leading up to this verse, we see a time that the flocks of Abraham and Lot have gotten so great that the land can no longer support both of them. It was a point both of their lives that they both had to make a choice on where they would lead their families. They had to choose what they were going to do with the rest of their life. In verse 10, it says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as a garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed to east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other." Both Lot and Abraham have both had to choose where they were going to move to. We see here, and it says, and here is where Lot cast his tent towards. He moved towards Sodom, even though it had a very bad influence. He did that because he felt that the prosperity was worth more than the evil would cost him. When we desire the attractions of sin, we pitch our tent toward Sodom. Before we do that, we look at the well-watered plains longingly, and you ask yourself, is it really wrong? Does it really matter? Will God even care? Does God really care about me? Why really must I take steps to protect myself? You may say life is short. Why can't I just live it up? And with those questions, you move your tent towards Sodom. And as you move towards Sodom, you start to learn new people that you meet up with. And those people are also on a journey towards Sodom. They're on a journey just like you, and they reemphasize to you and support your idea that there is a better life in Sodom. You tell yourself, there is others headed there, so it must be a place to go. What could be wrong? You tell yourself that you are strong enough to stand up to the evil, and you believe you will be fine. You get to Sodom, and you enjoy the pleasures that Sodom has to offer. It's a life of financial freedom. It's a life in a place that is teeming with opportunity. It's a life of living in a place that is looked up to, but by you pitching your tent towards Sodom, you had to compromise. Lot compromised and thought it'd be okay to give up some of his spiritual security for the physical blessings that this world had to offer. When you compromise, you have to give up something in order to make room for something else. Are you willing to compromise your spiritual protection just so you can flirt with the world? Turn to Genesis 19. We're going to look at the story of Lot and Sodom. Genesis 19:1, and there came two angels to Sodom that evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. I just want to point out one thing here. It says that he sat at the gate. Lot was no stranger to Sodom. A stranger would not be sitting at the gate. He moved in, and the people knew him. He was a man of wealth. And it is said that people of rank and authority spent time at the gate. So it's safe to say that Lot probably put his roots down and may have had some authority within Sodom of some type. He was not just there visiting or there for business. He put his roots down in Sodom. In verse 2, and he said, "Behold, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into my servant's house and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go in your ways." And they say, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered in his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both young, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, And they called out unto Lot and said, Where is the men that came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray thee, bring them out to you, that you do them as is good in your eyes, and only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And he said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in sojourn, and he will needs to be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the men, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. We see an awful wickedness in this city. But yet Lot seems calm about it. He's there. He calls them brethren. See in verse 7, he said, I pray you, brethren. I don't think this behavior is nothing new to him. Because we see how he pressured them to come into the house and not to be staying on the street. He knew what the wickedness of these people were. I think most likely that Lot knew the people that were pressing against his house outside the door. When we are captured in the attraction of the here and now, we become blinded to the reality that's all around us. We become blinded that there is sin knocking on our doorsteps. We become blinded to the fact that we do not take refuge. That if we don't take refuge, that the world is going to kill you spiritually. Verse 10 says, But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. We see that it was getting to a point that the men of the city were pressing on Lot to turn over the men, and it became an all-out assault on Lot and his home. But we see the men reaching out that were within the house, the angels, and dragging Lot back in. They did not only drag him back in, but they smote him. Smote the men that were trying to break in with blindness. There is times that we become so blinded and don't see the danger that the Lord has to reach down and drag us back in the door. And he does this by bringing things or people into our lives that waken us to our reality. When reading this story, it just amazes me that how blinded you could say he is. But at this point, this should have awakened Lot. It should have told him that there is something really wrong here. But it seems that he is just accepting this as normal. Are you so engrossed in your carnal desires that the ways of the world seem normal to you? Do we notice that the and fear the sin that we rub shoulders with every day. If you feel the Lord reaching down and tucking on your arm, it's time to wake up, brothers and sisters, and ask, "What do you have for me, Lord?" Verse 15, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hands upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his daughters, and the Lord being merciful upon him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city." There was something very interesting I came across that one commentator said. It probably has nothing to do with it, but they took four people out of that city that day. There was two angels and four hands. They had enough of hands to pull them out of the city. Lot just witnessed a miracle, and the man of God, that the men of God smote the men with blindness and saved his life and his household. But he is still saying, "Why, God? Why must I go? Why can't I just stay here?" He lingered. He is asking God why, because he can no longer see himself and no longer can recognize that the world around him is having a devastating influence on him. He has become comfortable with his surroundings, and the thought of moving to a safer place has become a matter of fear because of change. And it says that God lingered. We can look at this and say, how stupid can you really be? However can Lot say that he doesn't want to go? These angels were here pleading with him, saying, "Please come. There's destruction coming." And Lot is asking why. It's sobering to say that we are not much different than Lot. We become comfortable with where we are at. It looks big to change. The devil plants fear in our hearts about change. And the devil wants to believe that all change brings loss and privilege, loss of privilege, and loss of joy. Only change that brings loss of privilege and joy is the choice to not follow Christ. There are so many privileges and joys that come with a life that is centered on Christ. So then we see these men, after Lot refusing to leave, laying hands on them and dragging them out of the city. It was no longer a choice. You may ask, why did God save Lot if he did not want to change? We see Abraham in a few chapters earlier, up in the mountain praying and pleading with God to save anyone that was righteous. I do believe the only reason that God was saved, that Lot was saved, was because Abraham was there interceding for him. And because of the commitment that God gave to Abraham. Do you have someone there interceding for you? There is time that God drags us from our destruction and sets us outside the city so that we can recognize our need of Him. But we cannot count on that. We cannot live life carelessly and just expect that God will show Himself miraculously and bring us back to reality. Verse 17, and it came to pass, when they brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for your life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto me, him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this all, and I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Hast thee escaped thither? For I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of this city was called Zoar, and the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. The Lord rained down upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the city, and that which grew upon the ground. We see a commandment to not look back. And this here is my main point today. Lot and his family had become very comfortable with Sodom. It was their home. They had their friends there. The girls were engaged with men that were still back in the city. All their personal belongings were there. Lot was a wealthy man, and I expect they lived a life of ease and comfort. But they had been just dragged out of the city and were commanded to run and not look back. What would you do with that commandment? When God brings to light things in your life that you need to work on, what would you do with it? Do you ask God, really, must I do that? If God sends a friend to you to challenge you and helps you get out of a dark place, do you go kicking and screaming? Or do you take their advice gracefully? When God brings light that you need, brings to light of things that need change, he is asking you to run to safety of the mountains. He is asking you never to look back. You may ask, why does it matter if I take a quick look back? But your humanity wants badly to return and look. And desire for the things that you left behind. The devil knows if you can get you to look, there's a very high chance that you'll slip right back into your old ways. A week ago, we heard a lot of messages that challenged us to have a closer walk with God. I don't know what you all took out of it personally. But I know that probably some of you, including myself, have made commitments within your heart and with God to work on things that are standing between ourselves and God. Are you going to look back? It's our natural tendencies just to fall back into bad habits. Are you going to look back? The devil is there just snagging. Just one look. Just one look. What really could happen? Our comfort is back in Sodom. Really, will it matter if I take one peek? The title I gave to this message, I was just waiting to give close to the end, but it's also my prayer for you, is turn not again unto Sodom. Verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. If you look back and long for your past, it will bring you spiritual death. Our Almighty God has given you an opportunity of a lifetime. You could say, run into the mountains while you still have chance. He has given you opportunity to have a pure life with him, as long as you do not look back. But we see that Lot continues to compromise and does not go. If you want full victory, you cannot ever compromise, because compromise will only bring pain and suffering. And we see this in Lot's family. The compromise that God allowed in his family has only brought pain and suffering. That brings forth a whole generation that are in odds with people of God. Our choices today don't only affect us, affect the here and now. It doesn't only affect you personally, but it affects you, it affects your family. It affects the people around you, whether it's the ones you live with or go to church with, and affects the future generations. Your choices have effect on society that you live in. Are you going to look back? Lot's wife turned back to get a glimpse of the past life. I don't think it was just a quick glance that I think she could, that she looked because, just for curiosity, would you say? But she looked back because our heart was longing to be back in Sodom. But what she saw was a land desecrated with fire and destruction. and I had to think about that. The land of the plain was a well-watered area. It said it was like the garden of the Lord. Had a beautiful place. It's probably filled with wildlife and crops, trees. It's a very prosperous place to live. But the sin of the land had desecrated the land. And if you go there, I found it interesting, looking on Google Earth and looking at the place where they say Sodom was. There are some people that say it would have been in the Dead Sea. But more recent evidence has showed that it was just outside. And if you go there, there's pictures online that you can see. It's nothing but desert. The whole area, they can see where there's white ash. It's only ashes left. There's no life. The whole place smells of sulfur. There's no life that returned to the land. From time to time, we see that God dramatically saves someone. You could say it pulls them out of Sodom. But if you're at that point and don't make a commitment that you want something different, or make the commitment that you're not going to look back in your past life or your old ways, you will surely fall back into the ways of Sodom. It takes a personal choice. God will not continue to pull you out of your sins. He may have pulled you out several times, but you never know if He'll continue to pull you out. It takes a choice to walk a different life. I challenge you all, whether you recently made commitments or struggling in life, a life living out the commitments that you made some time ago, don't look back. Don't look back, because it will only bring you more hardship and brokenness and ultimately spiritual death. Let's kneel for prayer.